For our scripture reading today, we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 25 to 27. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 27. And it reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Brethren, this is God's word. May it be used as an encouragement for our souls.
Good morning, everybody. You know, people wonder, what kind of world is this we live in? All of the strange things happening, it's as if the whole world has lost its mind. You see all kinds of things, strange things, things that make absolutely no sense at all. As an example, a little baby is riding in the car with his parents, sitting in the car seat, and is shot and killed, minding his own business. We have a case where unarmed men are shot running away. In other words, they are executed on the spot. And the person who did it said, I was defending myself. When the truth came out, it was found that he wasn't. The man was running away. The man was running for his life, and he was slain. You have cases where two very fine police officers are sitting having lunch, and an individual brings it upon himself to assassinate them both. You have another case where people are in school trying to get an education. A man comes in, kills 9 people. They haven't done anything to him. He doesn't know anything. He says, "Are you a Christian?" They said, "Yes." Boom, he kills them. They didn't say they were there. If they weren't Christian, he'd shoot them in the leg. What is wrong? Why would somebody do that to somebody totally strange? Well, another case, a man comes and sits in a Bible study with people, sits there with 9 people, and at the end of the Bible study, he said, "You know, you're really some fine people. You treated me so nice." And then he proceeds to kill all 9 of them. All over the place, we have crazy things going on, and people can't help but ask, what is wrong? What's happening? Has there ever been a time when people have behaved so poorly toward each other? But people wonder what happens. But Christ has the answer for that. Christ has the answer. He says very persuasively, don't worry. Don't be overly concerned about this. But I'm going to tell you, if I were not a Bible-believing Christian, I would be scared to death in the world we live in. And I'm telling you, I would be making a beeline to somebody who could help me learn how to develop a relationship with God so that whatever happened to me, I would be okay. Christ gives the answer. He gives it in 4 persuasive questions. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, not Matthew 25, but Matthew 6. In verse 25, I think the technical thing is breaking down here. It's not me this time. I got this down. It's just not working. I'm going to let the tech people figure this out, and we're going to go on because I got a time to finish this or sit down. Matthew 6 and verse 25, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Here you have Christ saying to you, in a way where he's going from the greater to the lesser, I read that verse again. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Is not life more than food and the body more than food and the body more than clothes? That's argument number one, moving from the greater to the lesser. Our bodies, our life is more important than food. Now, food is a necessity. We can't live without it. We got to have food. We got to have water. We got to have clothes. We got to have a place to stay. We're going to find that there are two basic principles that Christ leads up to with these four questions. And the two principles are, have faith in God's providence, make God's priority, make God's will priority number one. Now, Christ is saying here, don't worry. Don't worry about these things. The horrible things we see around us, the horrible things that we see happening all over the place. The fact that someday we're going to lose a very fine pastor, but right now he's with us and he's right in there. But some people will get sad. So, well, I even think of the idea. Even if it's 5 years from now, I think of it. But don't worry. God is in charge. God's providence is there. He's going to see to it that things are taken care of. Now, some people personally, on a personal basis, use that, the idea that Christ has said, don't worry, to be irresponsible. And some of these people are Christians. For example, there was a Christian caught in the flood. And all around him, his friends saw the flood happening, and they started building sandbags around their house, putting all of the stuff around there, and they offered to help him. He said, don't worry. You know, God's going to take care of me. The flood rose up a little bit. He retreated to his house. Water came up a little higher. His friends said, look, you sure you don't need any help? No, God's going to take care of it. Finally, the water got up so high, he had to go up in the upper story. Flock came, friends said, you sure you don't want to leave? Oh, no, God's going to take care of me. Everything's going to be just fine. Finally, the water got so high, he had to go on top of his roof. They came by in a boat. He said, no, don't worry. God's going to take care of me. It got to the point he couldn't stay in his house anymore. He had to get on top of the house and get in a tree. And finally, the water got so high, he drowned. And when he went to heaven, he had a question for God. He was very accusative. He said, God, why didn't you save me? God said, look, people brought you sandbags, you turned it down. Gave you a boat, you turned it down. Sent you a helicopter. So since you drowned, it's not my fault. Your fault. You were the dumb one here. You at fault. So it does not mean that we'll be to be irresponsible. Because God says, don't worry. Don't, you know, that doesn't mean be irresponsible. Somebody once asked Moody, the man who's responsible for leading many people to Christ, said, Mr. Moody, you are a man of faith. And if you were on a ship and the ship caught on fire, wouldn't you just pray and let God take care of it? He said, I would pray, but I'll also get some buckets of water and throw it on the fire too. God doesn't expect us to be stupid. He does not expect us to be irresponsible. He's saying, use your head, but don't be overly concerned about stuff. Don't be overly concerned. God is going to take care of it. But he also gave us minds to think, you know? Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not store or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Again, this argument is going from the greater to the lesser. We are greater than birds. God made us. Now, the thing is, and you can see that, birds, all red birds, cardinals, I think that's the right name, build the same kind of nests. But all people don't do the same thing. We got people like Rick Murray. Give Rick Murray a manual and he can fix anything. Billy Fields can do all kinds of things. Give me a manual and I would say, what am I supposed to do with this? Because I don't have that ability. You know? So, but I'm made in God's image. We are made in God's image. And so as human beings, we have all kinds of talents. We have Don Gibson, who can play the piano. We have my young friend, Daniel Hill, learning to play the piano, playing the piano. We have all kinds of people who can do various things. You have people with various talents. But animals are not equal to people. Although people run around with the petitions, you know, and they say, look, they're killing seals. Would you sign this petition? And they've done it in such a way that I said, okay, bring me a petition saying we'll stop killing people and I'll sign it. I like animals, but animals are not as important as people. God says, look at the birds of the air. They do not store reap, but he takes care of them. So that's argument number two. Look at verse 27. It says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Well, that's something to think about. God has an appointment set for all of us to die. Now, some people say that's sad, but it's reality. There's nothing we can do to change that appointment. It cannot be. We can say, well, you know, God, I'm not ready to die. I don't want to die at 79. I want to be died at 105. I've said that. I laughed to people, and I said, you know, I still hope to be helping people when I'm 105. There's no guarantee to do that. I can't set the date of my birth. So this verse, if we really look at it and expand it, we are helpless. We can't do anything without God. But with God, what? We can do anything that God wants us to do. So why worry? Why get all bent out of shape? You know, do what you're supposed to do and leave it up to God. You know, and I can think so many things that where I've been in situations I didn't know what to do. And I was struggling with the thoughts of how I'm going to handle this. For example, as many of you know, I do not have the gift of singleness. Since I was 12, I wanted to get married. But my mom reminded me I wasn't old enough. And here I was going along, you know, and I decided since everybody in my family had always been poor that I was not going to be poor and I got to get married. The cycle of poverty would stop with me. I'd gotten an education, gotten a good job, and there were women, but they were the wrong ones. They loved me. I honestly thought they did. They cried when I said, that can be not that kind of relationship. One lady said, well, look, if we can't get married, why don't we have a child together and I get to see you? No, I'm not. I can't do that. I'm a Christian, you know. Can't do that kind of thing. I wasn't overly religious, but it was my fault that she thought that. You know, because I grew up in the country, and I was not as sophisticated as, say, somebody like Jesse Bellamy or Adolphus Williamson, people who grew up in town. I didn't know that you could not be a buddy with a woman who liked you already. And the fact that, and I thought with this woman, we worked together, I solved all her problems for her, and she did all these things. And she said, you know, why can't we get married? You know, and she told me, well, my folks left me all this property up in Wisconsin, but that's where mother's advice came in. Mom said, don't take a woman's money. Don't you dare get involved with a woman because of her money. But then I was wondering, you know, like I said, I didn't have the gift of loneliness, of singleness, and I decided, friend of mine, Mr. Jackson, said, well, Dumas, you know, you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do that. And so I went out and got a second job. I was working two jobs and in graduate school. The second job was 9 hours. I figured if I am so tired, I won't have time to think about the fact that I'm not married. And I went on, but it doesn't work. There's nothing like guys who are single. There's nothing like having a great wife. Once you've got a wife who loves you, you got it made. You can conquer the world. And so I was just going along being so lonely and worrying, you know, and wondering, well, you know, I'm getting pressures being put on me for all these women that I'm not supposed to be involved with. Not there's anything wrong with them, but they're not Christians. One woman said, well, I'll become Christian. If you're a Christian, you know. And then I was just going along worrying. And then finally, fall of 1967, I was walking down a road, and I met this charming girl, beautiful brown eyes. There's only one problem. She's with one of the most handsome guys you've ever seen. Guy looked like a movie star. But The Dumas' philosophy is, you see something you want, if it's legal, you go after it. Now, actually, that was my philosophy, but God intervened. And this little girl with the brown eyes, big brown eyes, and all of the things that I like, intelligent, dignified, just lit up my life. And honestly, I can say this to you, my friends. I could have asked her to marry me after the second day, but I didn't because I would think she might have thought I was crazy, you know. But it would have been crazy to do that. But I knew exactly because I've been praying about it. So it says, look, God will take care of you, whatever your needs are. Verse 27, I was talking about, can any of you, by worrying, add a single her hour to your life? We can't. We are helpless without God. But with God, we can do everything we need to do. God takes care of the birds. You know, you look at birds sometimes. Now, it's not that birds don't work. My wife said animals like our house because they figured out it's a good place to be. So the birds, I got bird nests in my trees. I got birds under the squirrels, and they have the same nests. They even built it on top of my house. And I had to tear that down because the squirrels going up and down the thing got on my wife's nerves, and she was a little bit frightened. So I went down and cut all the stuff down as it couldn't get up there. But God looks after all of these things. He takes care of the animals. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't do any of these things, but they take care of their young, and we have to do the same thing. Now, the fact that, again, I'll go back and review, the fact that I said we don't worry about things don't mean that we are supposed to be irresponsible. We're not going to sit at home, you're out of work, and expect a job to come land in your lap saying, you know, God's going to take care of me. You got to use your head. Okay? So, but worrying doesn't really help. Now, we're to be concerned. You know, when I was single, I probably was worrying. I was probably more than concerned. But we really ought to be concerned with balance when things are not right, when we are unable to overcome something that's causing us a problem. I was thankful. I'm very thankful for the fact that as a young person, I was very fascinated by old people, people who lived a long time, because Daddy had told me and my mom had told me they know a lot of stuff. Even if they messed up their own lives, they still know a whole lot of stuff. And this old man, he was about 95. He said, now, boy, this is a secret. And boy, I like the people I grew up with as I think about it now. They really had such an interest in me. He said, now, boy, if you want to make it in life, don't worry about a thing. He said, the reason why you don't worry about a thing, it doesn't help any. You can worry all you want to, and it's not going to do a thing for you. I remember what the old man said to me. And you know, I don't worry about anything. I do. I'm concerned. It bugs me to no end when I see those who are strong taking advantage of the weak. I get mad about that. As a matter of fact, I've done some things that went wise about that. I had a handicapped teacher one time, and somebody took her car. The lady, you know, she had disabilities. Handicap is out of focus now. You say that, you offend people. But the right term is she had a disability. And she couldn't get home. You know, she was struggling. She had been teaching school all day, and they took her car. We called the police, and nothing happened. So I looked at, we had a logbook where everybody comes in the school has to sign in. Look at the logbook. And I said, I bet you some of those knuckleheads south of the school took my teacher's car. Now, you're not supposed to, basically we don't do this. We don't take women in a car at night, especially at night by ourselves. I said, come on. Just get in the car. I'm going to find your car. I drove down in the neighborhood, and these fellas, these boys who knew me, some of my stuff, I jacked them up. I mean, in love now. I didn't beat anybody. But a lot of these boys I had spanked because they couldn't, their parents couldn't control them. One boy was even jumping on his mother. You know, and I said, what is this? Lady, you're bigger than him. What do you mean he's jumping on you? So I went down and out. And I drove in. Guy said, hey, Mr. Dumas, what are you doing down here, man? I said, some of you guys took my teacher's car. Now, I want it back. Go get the keys and bring the keys back here. You know what they said? Okay, Mr. Dumas. Within 10 minutes, those boys got that key and brought it back to me. I gave them $15. I thought it was worth it. But I wasn't supposed to be down there. I didn't tell my wife until afterwards. Because really, that's not a safe place. It was not safe for me to be down there. There was another time one of my boys was robbed on the playground. Now, don't do this. I did it and got away with it, but don't do it. Robbed my little boy, took his money. He came, Mr. Dumas, they took my money. I said, who took it? He told me. I said, okay, where does he live? I went in and knocked on his door. I said, how dare you come on my playground and take my kid's money? Give my kid his money back. I had no business down there. But guess what? It worked. And I'm alive today. So, but that don't be foolish like that. I did that, but I didn't do it. Look at verses 28 and 29. Verses 28 and 29 read, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. So what I just said was, if you're not really irresponsible, you do foolish things, God does take care of you. When I was growing up, I used to hear people say, God takes care of old folks and fools. Well, let me tell you, God takes care of everybody, not just old folks and fools, because I did act foolish. Verse 30, it goes on to say, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. These men, remember, I didn't give you the setting for this, but the setting for this was when Christ was actually teaching his disciples. He was teaching them to know. Now, they had a lot to reflect back on. So they shouldn't have been of little faith, but they were. Because they had been in a situation where a storm came up and they were about to drown. God, Christ, calmed the sea. There was a situation in which man had died, had been dead for days. He raised him from the dead. So they knew that God could do these things. But yet they had a little faith. Think about it. What about us? Don't raise your hand. Are we in that category sometimes? Do we sometimes forget all of the things that God has done for us and we still are worrying, oh, what's going to happen? Pastor's going to retire. Everybody deserves, our pastor has earned the right to retire. You work on a job for 23 years, take the abuse that man has taken, take the other things he has done, the ungratefulness he has shown, and I'm not doing that to feel sorry, just a fact. I know that. We don't worry. God will take care of things. Don't worry. You of little faith. Verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? He's sort of reviewing again what he's already said. You know, earlier. Verse 32. For the pagans run after these things. That is, the unchurched. We wouldn't walk up to them, you pagan, we wouldn't do that. Well, you know, the unchurched person, a person who thinks nothing about God, a person who even thinks there is no God, he can worry. But we don't have to do that. Why? We are God's children. People like Michaela and the younger people and the old people like me don't have to worry. God cares for all of us. He cares for the young. He cares for the middle in between. He cares for everybody. He's going to look after us. And look at the fact that God made us who we are. He put us on this earth. He certainly has the ability to take care of us since he put us here. It says this is a part of the answer. Since we are Christians, this is what we're to do. But seek first the kingdom of his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, you hear in sports, the smart coaches will say, hey, look, we're not going to worry about what happened next week. We're going to take care of today. And after we take care, we win this game today, then we're going to be okay. I'm reading Tony Dungy's book, A Devout Christian. I hope all of you, particularly if you've got young children, will get them to read that book. And because it's not a hard read, but it's a book that is hard to put down. And he talks about how depending on God will get you over the hump, will enable you to be successful. My favorite tennis player lost a tennis match that she should have won very easily. The speculation is she was thinking about the next opponent. She destroyed the opponent she was playing 6-2 in the first set, won the first two games of the second set, and then got distracted and lost the match. So we had to focus on the fact that God's going to look after us. You know, don't be worrying about tomorrow. Take care of business today. And I think, and this is not a criticism, just an observation, I think that my favorite tennis player would have gone on to win the championship had she not been worrying about tomorrow. There are other people who think that who are really experts. It says, go to Matthew, the 6th chapter now, and let's get some more information about this. It says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, what does that mean? Don't worry. Be happy. But add on to that happiness. Throw in there, be concerned about the will of God. It's not just enough to say, don't worry, be happy. You got to do a little bit more by asking God to help you, to give you the strength to overcome whatever it is that you're facing. Let's go next to Philippians 4, verses 4 to 6, continuing the same theme. Philippians 4. Verses 4 to 6, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God has told us that when we depend on him, he's always going to be there for us. Now, it may not work out just the way we want it to, but it's going to work out. Like one man said, you don't worry about the battles that you're in. You know what the end, if you're depending on God like you're supposed to, you don't have to worry about what the end is going to be. You know already you're going to win. Because God is the most powerful being in the universe. Verses 7 and 8 of the same chapter of Philippians. Let's look at that. Zero in on what it says and finish unpacking the subject. And the peace of God, which transcend all, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, finally, brothers, you can say sisters too, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Let's concentrate on the fact that God is going to look after us. And don't worry about it. Be concerned, you know. And it's only human, by the way. If you happen to be a person who worries, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means what? Well, a lot of my young friends would tell you it means you're human. Humans do that. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was worried about the congregation that he's taken, that he'd taken care of all those years, and we don't have time for all to go into all of the detail, but it's fairly common knowledge. He was concerned about the churches that he had raised up, and he was concerned because there were people out there wanting to destroy those people, wanting to lead them away from God and to lead them into other ways. So he was worried, and was there ever a more devout Christian than Paul? Once God got a hold of him, that man was really devout. He wrote more books of the Bible than anybody else. And just know this. I don't care what society says. I don't care what the government says. God is sovereign. His providence will occur. Now, we as Christians, we're going to find that though we live in the West, where we have religious freedom, but that religious freedom is diminishing constantly. We find that our government is putting pressure on Christians to do things that are very unchristian, that society is doing the same thing. And when you adhere to what the principles of God say, you call that old conservative, the ultra-right. What is that? The political terms. You know, it really has gotten to the point now it almost means nothing. Because in some cases, when people call you conservative, they'd say that because you won't obey God. But what do we do then with that kind of criticism? Don't worry about it. Obey God. You obey the laws of the land. We obey the laws of the land as Christians. But if the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God, who do we obey? We obey God. The Bible says, give Caesar what is Caesar's. But what's God, you give it to God. You know? And if we do that, we'll have more peace of mind than if we do otherwise. Finally, Paul says in verse 9, this. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Think of that. It's great to have peace, even in the midst of great difficulty. You can have it. We can have it if we depend on God. So, what have we learned from these scriptures? And I want you to remember this. If I ask you next week, what are these key things that I want you to remember? I want you to be able to tell me. Number one, have faith in God's providence. God is the sovereign of the universe. He's going to make sure things work out for his people. So we don't have to worry. Number two, make God's will priority number one. Make God's will priority number one. Don't worry. Seek God's will first, and you will be happy. So we can sing, don't worry, be happy, seek the will of God, and everything's going to work out fine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for the time that you've given us together. Help us to focus in on these scriptures in Matthew and the related ones, and there are others that are related as well. Help us indeed to be genuinely concerned, but help us not to worry about anything. You're the greatest power in the universe, and therefore you can make sure that your people are taken care of. And help us to understand that sometimes, because there is hatred of Christians, and Christ said it before he left, he said that they hated him, they will definitely hate us, and we'll see that. But help us to adhere to what you tell us to do. And even if we lose our lives, even if we suffer, we don't have to worry. Help each one of us to focus in on what you say. Your word is inerrant. You cannot lie. The scriptures cannot lie. You have said what we should do. And if we do that, we're going to be okay. Help us to think. Help us to say. Help us to do whatever your will is. Then we indeed can say, don't worry. Just be happy because we are doing your will. We ask all of this in the name and by the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.